Hello, and welcome to the Your Full Stack podcast. My name is Emily Johnson, and I am here with Stephen Carr, owner and founder of Your Full Stack. Stephen, welcome.
Thanks, Emily. It's good to be here.
Stephen, thank you for coming in today. Can you start by telling us a little about your background and how you got into building software and mobile applications?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, I've always been into tech now for at least over 20 years. I've just always been fascinated by solving problems with various things, but I loved people at the same time. So it made sense to kind of pair sales, entrepreneurship, and digital technology to kind of solve problems. Over the years, I basically just started bouncing around between different, technologies that came out. And when the iPhone was released, I began doing iPhone development and then dovetailed into Android development as well in the early years. And as Apple has progressed and just everything has kind of scaled over the years, doing all of these projects and tasks has really helped kind of give me a greater understanding of a lot of how businesses run. I actually tell people that whenever I do so many different contracts over all of these years, it's given me insight into industries that I would never even know. Because when you have to build certain things, depending on the products, some people have hired me to build out their entire back office system. When I do that, I'm able to see various things, how the company runs, revenue streams, profit loss, cash on cash. I can see the whole gamut of a lot of different things. Of course, I sign NDAs for all of these things, so I can't disclose anything, but it does give me a tremendous amount of insight, much more than if you were to just to sit at a singular job for 20, 25 years. So I always enjoyed that, and it kind of met my need for just kind of getting out there, experiencing new things, and keeping things fresh and new.
You currently have more than 20 iPhone apps available in the App Store. Can you tell us about the types of apps you build and the problems they solve?
Yeah, so I do have 25 iPhone apps currently right now, and those are all just ones I've developed internally for myself. And then, of course, I've got many others that I've created for other people under their accounts as well. As I started creating different iPhone apps, I actually began to develop out my own method of scaling and rapid development and deployment. I actually created my own OTA, which is kind of over-the-air updates. So Apple right now, if you build and release an app, it has to go through a vetting process. You know, Apple will test it, check it, verify it, and then release it into the store. So even being published at all is an accomplishment.
Many companies spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on mobile apps. How are you able to build high-quality apps at a fraction of that cost?
So that's a great question. A lot of companies do charge quite a bit for software development. Most of that is because man hours are expensive, right? Your average software developer is going to command any sort of six-figure salary. So that's simple math. You know, it's going to be anywhere from 50 to 75 an hour. And that's just for, you know, the developer's time. If you're working for an agency, they need to have some overhead on that. So when you finally hit agency prices, you're sitting at $200, $300, $400 an hour. You're getting up there just like attorneys. And which is not bad. Typically, you want to go with an agency if you're looking for redundancy, but there's still a lot of ways to save costs by going through an individual such as myself, where you're still protected, you still have redundancy, you still have your code base, and can actually pick it up, lift and shift, and go to another developer if you needed to. So I always do that with everyone. But a lot of places kind of spend a lot more time than they need to developing what people, you know, maybe don't need. Maybe there's too many features. So the main questions I ask whenever I meet people is I'm trying to figure out what exactly do they need, because I don't want to sell them something they don't want, because then they're not going to be happy. They're going to spend money, not get a product they like, and then that leads to less referrals. So I basically am able to whittle things down. Like a lady came to me once. She just needed an upgrade on her, you know, cloud software she already had developed. I took a look at it. I saw the specs of what she wanted. But I could tell after talking to her and hearing the request, I said, it seems like you're trying to prep this business to sell it. She said, yes, I am. And I said, okay, if that's the end goal, I recommend basically that we rebuild this from the ground up. Because right now it's kind of hacked together. She had several different developers doing it. I said, let's reskin the whole thing too. So I turned a deal that was probably like, you know, $5,000. And that deal turned into well over $200,000. Now, that wasn't $200,000 up front. It was over, you know, the course of like 2 years. But that's how I can take a single contract and develop some of their software. And the reason that was a success is because the software I was creating for her, she was, you know, we're building SaaS software that she was selling to school districts, right? K-12, mostly junior high, high school. And a single sale out in California netted $150,000. So it really is, honestly, very cost effective to hire someone like myself. I build your software. It's gives you an amazing tool. You make one or two sales. You've covered your costs of development for the entire system. And so I do that a lot for people. I solve a lot of problems. The main thing is trust, too. I found out since I come in, people have typically been burned by someone in the past. And so I literally just say, give me 2 weeks. And the 2 weeks, I'm always able to deploy something, right? It's not a complete product. It's not finished. But I always put something in their hands in that amount of time. And that's what builds the trust, right? I don't sit on something for 6 months and then just feed them stories or words or reports. They literally have something in hand that they can test because you kind of need to do the agile development way, right? I mean, because things pivot. And as you have something in your hand, they might perhaps want to change direction, right? Maybe they envision their software, their app, whatever it is, looking and doing something. But right when I create it, hand it to them, and we're in the very early stages, they're like, you know what? I actually thought I wanted it to do this, but why don't we pivot and change this? So that allows people to save time, money, makes them very, they feel very comfortable and happy because they like to be involved, which they should. They're the product owner. They know their business. I don't. My job literally is to just translate their needs into software that's cost-effective and solves whatever problem they're trying to solve.
You've mentioned that small, focused development teams can often outperform large agencies. Why do you believe that is?
And I kind of already addressed that, but small teams are always more agile. They can move, they can pivot faster. Large teams, you have a lot of bureaucracy you have to jump through. In the IT world, I literally run everything through a couple of lenses. One is liability. What's the liability to you and to myself? Are we building a secure application that's not going to leak anyone's personal data, that we're doing best practices, that we reduce liability? The second thing is ROI. Yes, true, with an unlimited budget, you can build any software, but if your ROI on that is horrendous, why would you want to do it, right? So some people come to me and they're like, hey, we need to increase EBITDA and we need to make our business more profitable, you know, in reality and on paper, because we need to sell to investors. So I can literally take people's budgets if they have a software budget of like $500,000 and I can, you know, automate various things, build AI tools, build other type of internal systems and tools that they can use and cut that 500 down to about 150, 200 grand. And so there's a lot of ways to do that. That's combined with consulting technology, but you have to know the full scale of everything, right? And that's kind of how my career progressed because I don't just code things out. I don't just build things. I literally am thinking the long game, like where are we headed? Where are you headed? What's the end goal here and how can we get there? But at the end of the day, it really is all about dollars. People want their product, but they want it for a great cost. Or at least something that's reasonable, so they can make sure they get a return on that.
How quickly are you typically able to take an idea and turn it into a working mobile application?
Okay, that's a great question. So how fast can I create something? So this 100% depends upon the idea, but because of the shells that I've created, right, I can wash, rinse, repeat, and build various things pretty rapidly. Very, very simple apps. You know, we can have something live within 7 to 9 business days. And I'm talking extremely simple, but it just depends. But even the most complex systems, we still release and have something in your hand within a month. Again, even if it's just like the shell, right? It's not product ready, but we try to go MVP, which is minimum viable product. And then at that point, because a lot of times too, you need focus groups. You need to get this into the hands of the end users. You need to get this in the hands of the you know, the business owners and everyone that's kind of looking at this system. so that they have a tool to use. And as people provide feedback, then you can pivot from there. And you can always add features. So I always relate this to birthing a baby, right? Let's just get the baby born, and then we can feed it, grow it, mature it, you know, turn it into a teenager, an adult, and then finally a finished product all the way.
A lot of businesses rely on websites, but you emphasize native iPhone apps. What advantages do native apps provide that websites cannot?
Now, this is a question that's been out for decades, and people kind of pivoted back and forth, right? Websites, cloud software versus native iPhone apps. You know, Apple kind of, when everything was going to the cloud, right, the web, and then Apple created the iPhone, and then they went back to basically installed software on a device. Well, there's a lot of reasons that you want an iPhone app that are much more beneficial, you know, than like a web-based app. So first of all, you can store credentials. It makes the barrier of entry into your product, your software, your business, your service much easier. You just tap a button. Once you log in, it can cache credentials and you're just in. The second thing is screen real estate. Even though it's not always present in front of your mind, if you open your phone, you swipe past something, you may catch their eyes. That is beneficial. It's kind of like tertiary marketing, right? Presence of mind. So you do want screen real estate. And then a third option is that when you have actual native apps versus, you know, web apps or cloud software on a device, you have access to all of the hardware systems within that phone, right? So geolocation, push notifications, you know, the camera, the microphone, all sorts of tools that leverage various things. And a lot of this is metrics based as well, right? So, I mean, if you have a website and people are hitting it, sure, you can see that people are hitting it from a mobile device, but it's better to like have an app that asks, can we use your location one time? They say yes. Now, every time they open it, you can run metrics as long as you're just closing it, right? Now you literally can build a map and say, hey, these are where all of my customers are. And actually, when they pull up the app and start using it, this is where they usually are when they do that. It's actionable data, right? And so that's what you want to do. You can still anonymize it, you know, make sure you protect people's identity, but it still gives you information that you can use to, again, build a better product and also serve your customers better.
You've built systems that can scale and deploy updates quickly. Can you explain how modern app deployment and over-the-air updates work?
Yeah, and I kind of already touched on that. So the OTA, which is the over-the-air updates, a lot of people do that. I have my own system. Again, like I said, I check if there's internet access. If there is, it basically checks my server for, you know, recent or new updates. And if those exist, then it literally downloads that and runs it. It happens within the first 2 seconds of launching an app. The payload is very small. We're talking probably 100K, and I can probably do drastic UI, UX, and or functionality-based changes, mainly because a lot of that is already bundled in the app, and I'm just sending various triggers or flags if we need to, but I can actually change content as well. The reason that is helpful is because Apple can take anywhere from several days to vet, approve, and then release your app. And also doing that, then people have to update their system, right? Mine, you don't even have to update it. Some people have their store set to auto-update, so maybe your app gets updated, maybe it doesn't. Some people have it set to manual. And if it's manual, you may release 5 different updates before they update it once. So the system I created allows for quick, rapid changes. It is also great for various kind of sales type apps. So example, like my Fort Worth Happy Hour app, there's a free appetizer when you launch the phone the first 2 or 3 times, and then it goes away. But I have the ability to push, you know, a new advertisement at any time. So if I close a sale today for a new restaurant and they want it to run for a week, all I have to do is push that update to my server, and every single phone that launches the app shows that brand new advertisement. I don't have to push a new update. It doesn't have to go through Apple, because I already have the whole shell and the system set up using my own custom ways. So it's really beneficial.
User experience is a big challenge for many companies. How do things like Apple Sign-In and simplified onboarding improve adoption?
That's a great question too. So Apple Sign-In, especially when we're talking about Apple devices, gone are the days of UAC, user account control and access. You don't need to be managing passwords. And besides, it just introduces new liabilities anyways. So the way that happens is, you know, whenever you use Google, Apple, or any third party API or OAuth system to authenticate, all you're really checking is Apple handles the credentials, they handle everything else, and all I need is the person's email address. I need some sort of a UUID. Once I have that in my database, then basically we can have the entire account paired with that information. It's secured through Apple systems. And it really is nice too. So I've incorporated now Apple login, and because of, you know, Face ID, Finger ID, all these things, people can log in now. I personally don't even like to go to a website or anything on my phone if I have to type a password. So it's almost like if you don't have that barrier of entry reduced, it's like, why do it? It's kind of like, why do I shop on Amazon? I go there because I don't have to type a credit card in. They took it once and I just tap, 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 buy, and I'm done. So it's the same thing. You want to be able to store and cache whatever you can for those users in a safe way where their information is protected, but it just allows them access to your product as fast as possible, and then you retain more users that way as well.
For businesses listening today who may be considering building an app, what advice would you give them before they start a software project?
So if you're a business and you're looking to buy or develop or, you know, an app, you should probably get some consulting first, right? See what you actually need, what you want. What's the timetable? I'm able to drill down in a quick 15-minute session. You can actually book that on our website, yourfullstack.com. And basically, we talk about, you know, whatever it is you need. I can identify pretty quickly the pain points, what you're looking for, and then I just ask questions. Hey, if you had a product or a software or an app that did X, Y, Z, would that save you time? And so it's a collaborative process, right? I told them what's possible and how fast it'll take to do it. And then they basically, you know, give me the green light or not. And then I tell them what it will cost as well. It's basically what I do with everyone. So, yeah. But thanks again for having me on. It's been great.